we sing there in Psalm 23, the Lord is our shepherd. And we conclude that psalm by saying, in his house forevermore, I will dwell. That is certainly speaking of heaven, God's heavenly house, his temple, even the new creation to come, dwelling with our God. But we know in this world, we particularly do that as members of the church, even this evening as we're gathered together into the house of our God. And so let's think about what it means this evening for us to be that holy Catholic church. I'll ask this question and let's all respond with the answer. Number 54 in our catechism, what do you believe concerning the holy Catholic Church? That out of the whole human race, from the beginning to the end of the world, the Son of God, by his Spirit and Word, gathers, defends, and preserves for himself unto everlasting life a chosen communion in the unity of the true faith, and that I am and forever shall remain a living member of this communion. Well, a lot packed into that little expression there about the Holy Catholic Church from our catechism. And we'll see that the Lord gives us much to think about in almost every way there about the Holy Catholic Church. In John chapter 10 this evening, if you'll open in your Bibles there to John chapter 10. What is the Holy Catholic Church? What does it do? What can we expect the church to accomplish in this world? What does it look like? Where can we find it? Those are questions that should occupy our minds this evening as we think about the church, especially what our catechism says about it here. Tonight, however, we're going to want to particularly want to understand that God has given us the church as a... Now, mark these words. He's given us the church as a gift of his grace. We certainly have a duty, all have a duty to be joined to the church, as our Belgic Confession says. But what the Heidelberg Catechism is really trying to get us to understand about the church is that it's a gift of our gracious God and Savior. That's why it's in the Apostles' Creed, now exposited in our Heidelberg Catechism, in that part of our catechism which is all about grace. We're still there. In that middle, largest chunk of our Heidelberg Catechism, which is about the saving grace of God. Church is part of that. And so we're going to be thinking this evening about the church, the Holy Catholic Church, how it is a gift of our gracious God and Savior Jesus Christ. And with that brief introduction, let's turn now to the Word of God here in John 10, where we learn much of our Good Shepherd, who makes the church what it is, and calls us into it, but who also has a lot to teach us here about how we may know we are part of his true church, his body, his one flock. And as the sermon title says there, the one flock of our Good Shepherd. That's what we'll want to consider as we read the 30 verses here from John 10. Starting at the beginning of the chapter, let's read now the holy, the living and infallible Word of our God. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand, not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So far, the reading of God's word this evening. May his Holy Spirit bless it to our understanding and to our spiritual nourishment. Beloved congregation in Christ Jesus and friends, we call the church holy and Catholic. That's something we're going to hear quite a bit more this evening. In fact, in every sermon point, I'm going to resound those words this evening. How is it that we call this church holy and Catholic? You confess that, don't you? Every other Lord's Day, just about when we recite the Apostles or Nicene Creed, we confess one holy and apostolic church or one holy Catholic church. You believe that the church is holy? You believe the church is Catholic or universal? A holy church, aren't there a lot of sinful things that still remain in the church? Aren't there a lot of people like you and me, sinners? How do we consider the church holy? And Catholic. You look at the church here in Des Moines, just our church, in comparison with, the 1,200 around us here in this city. We're all very different from one another. Doesn't seem very much like one church. There are many divisions, many differences indeed. That's just here in Des Moines. Compare our church to the church in Africa or in China or in South America or wherever. The differences abound even further. How is it then that we believe the church is holy and Catholic? Well, I don't want this simply to be a sort of academic exercise this evening for us to solve this riddle. How is the church holy and Catholic? I want you to understand that God bestows on his church holiness and Catholicity. He makes it these things by his grace, through his Son and through the Holy Spirit and by his word. And that is what the Lord Jesus brings to our attention here in John 10. We call the church a holy and Catholic church. All these sinful and very different people that make up the church, it is nevertheless holy and Catholic because of our God and Savior, what he does and who he is, what he's doing even now. And so, friends, first of all, I want to look here in John 10 for how the Lord Jesus teaches us that the church is holy and Catholic. First, the church is holy and Catholic because of the simple condition of faith. The church is holy and Catholic because of the simple condition of faith. What do I mean, condition? Very simple, really. Children, when I say there's a condition of faith, I mean that to belong to the Lord Jesus as a member of his true church, his body. One must supply this condition, faith. And certainly we would want to turn right around and say, we don't even supply that on our own. More about that in a moment. It's given to us, isn't it? But there is nevertheless a real sense in which one becomes a member of the true church of Jesus Christ through faith, believing in him. Whoever has true faith in Christ is a member of this one flock. He says it himself many times. I'd like you to just listen to some of those instances here in John 10. Verse 9, Jesus says, one need only enter in through him. He's not only the good shepherd, but he's the door, right? The sheep go in through him. You only enter into this church, his one flock, through the Lord Jesus. You go to him. He's the gate. He's the door. You go through him into the church. That's an expression of faith. The narrow way. Only faith in him. It's that one simple condition of entering into the church. You find it again in verses 14 and 15. His sheep know who he is. Jesus says, my sheep, I know them. But he says, they know me. How do they know him? Have you ever seen Jesus? Has he ever audibly come and told you, you're one of his sheep, go and follow him? In a manner of speaking, yes, if you are one of his, he's done that very thing. But the point here in verses 14 and 15 is that Jesus says, they do know me. And later on, he says, they follow me. Look at verses 26 and 27 again. But you do not believe because you're not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's a simple condition of belonging to Jesus Christ and his church, the one flock. It's that condition of faith. Do you trust in the good shepherd who died for sinners? Jesus goes on here to say that that life of faith, it's not just one time, we heard about that this morning. It's continually putting faith in him, following him, listening continually to his voice and trusting in him and going where he leads. We hear him and in faith we follow him. This is what Jesus is bringing out from beginning to end of our reading from John 10 this evening, that if you belong to him, you must have faith. Some of you are saying, well, of course, we know that. That's pretty obvious. We hear about that just about every Lord's Day. That's pretty rudimentary, Pastor. What are you going to say to challenge us this evening? Of course, we know we must have faith to belong to his one flock. What's the big deal? Belong to the church through faith in Christ, of course. But don't you see the beauty in that? I'm not so much wanting to challenge you this evening with this doctrine of faith in Christ as that condition of belonging to his body and to his one flock, the church, the Holy Catholic Church. I want you rather to be blessed with the beauty, the wondrous beauty and simplicity of that truth. That you're not the holy and Catholic Church because of something that you do that is good. You're not this peculiar people in the world because you have made yourself by your wisdom and your goodness and the way that you live with such goodness and morality and walking in his holy ways. You don't make yourself to belong to Jesus and be deserving of belonging to his flock, the church. That word holy, then we must understand, is a gift which Christ bestows on his church through faith, an empty hand of saying, my Savior, give me life, feed me. The Savior, the Good Shepherd who died for us, he makes us holy. See, that's the beautiful and wonderful thing that our text brings out to us here. Jesus would say to these unbelieving Jews, you don't belong to my flock because you're unbelieving. But in another sense, it's a great blessing for us to understand we may know we do belong to his flock and that we're holy because he laid down his life for us as sheep who hear his voice and follow him and believe in him. You see, in that simple condition of faith, friends, we have this wonderful comfort of our soul this evening that we don't provide some condition ourselves. Jesus, he gives us faith. He has us to rest in him, to trust that he died for our sins, to follow him, to hear his voice, that we might have life through faith alone. Well, I always love it when people hear that I'm a pastor of a church, and then they say, some of them, not all, of course, but some of them say, oh, it must be tough working with all those people. And I want to say, you don't know the half of it. Not really. But I say, Jesus came not for the righteous, but for sinners. It's sinners who make up his flock. Foolish sheep. It is tough. Being a pastor, I'm sure it's tough for you to bump into a bunch of foolish and sinful sheep once in a while. It's not easy. It's not clean. We're not a bunch of wise and good people. That's not why you belong to the church. We are a holy church because our Savior died for us. And through faith alone, we embrace him and are counted acceptable to our God. Jesus came not for the righteous, but for sinners. The good shepherd, to make these sheep part of his one flock, he had to die for them. How dare we ever think that we are particularly good people because of the way we live or who we are, what we've done. We're a bunch of foolish, faltering, and sinful sheep, prone to wander. Our good shepherd has saved us, and he keeps us. Church, then, is holy because of Christ, not because of us. We receive him in faith. That is the wonder of this simple condition of belonging to him in his church. And that simple condition of faith also allows us to be Catholic. I don't want to only give attention here to that word holy, because in our Apostles' Creed, as in our catechism, we're thinking this evening about how we are the holy Catholic Church. The simple condition of faith also applies to our Catholicity. Catholicity is that word which means universal. It means a church that's not just here, not just over there, but the church that's everywhere from the beginning of the world to the end. That church is one. One body. Wherever it is, whenever it exists, it's one. And there's a very simple reason for that. Faith. Not because we speak the same language. Not because we all dress alike. We come from all the same background. We are of a certain intelligence. We're from a certain socioeconomic status in this world. We've got this level of education over here. Or we're that ethnicity. No, none of those marks of your individuality and your peculiarity, your idiosyncrasy, right, that make you an individual different from everyone. None of those things have anything to do with your belonging to Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, barbarian, Scythian, male or female. All of those things, there's no condition there. We're all, through faith in Christ, members of his Catholic church, that one body, that one flock. The beauty of this one simple condition of faith, then, is that our God allows us to know, as he comforts us with these words in John 10, allows us to know we belong to him. We're part of his one flock. For nothing we have, nothing we've done. Holiness and Catholicity as the one flock, the Church of Christ, those are given to us because of what he's done, which we embrace only by faith. And so, friends, we have to consider that. There's more to say this evening, but we have to be clear about this. This condition of faith, as our Heidelberg Catechism says, and I failed to mention that earlier, that our catechism is concerned that we understand we do belong to him through faith. It says that this is what we believe about the Holy Catholic Church, that out of the whole human race, from beginning to the end, the Son of God, he gathers this people to himself in a chosen communion, now notice, in the unity of the true faith. Our Heidelberg Catechism wants us to know that we're not simply born into the church. Now, in a sense, we are, right? We are born into the covenant people. You children, you were born into this assembly of Christian people here. You're baptized and numbered among these disciples of Christ. But what our catechism wants us to understand there, this is our Lord Jesus reminds us here in John 10, is that truly to belong to him, not simply to be born to a covenant family, You're not simply to be born into some church as an infant covenant member baptized. You are to believe. And so you children, you're to hear this evening. We don't assume you have faith. We don't baptize you and number you among the disciples of Christ here at Providence Reformed Church because some mysterious way we think you have faith already when you're born into a Christian home. No, we don't assume you have faith, but we expect you will have faith. And we're hopeful that the Lord our God, the Good Shepherd, will grant it to each and every one of his own. You children of the covenant of this church, you are called to faith in Christ Jesus. Boys and girls, do you hear that this morning, this evening rather, that you are called to faith in Christ? Being here, being a sitter in a pew, doesn't make one truly a member in union with Christ. That covenant, visible assembly of the saints, is normally the place where you find his sheep. But he tells us himself, my sheep hear my voice, and they come. They come after me. They hear, they believe, they follow. So friends, let us take comfort in that word, but let us also, especially young people this evening, or any who may be lacking that faith, it is the only way of salvation to embrace the Savior who died for his sheep with true faith. Well, there's a lot more I could say this evening. Said quite a bit about Israel this morning. Those who believed, they may have been few at times in Israel, but we know that even for them, as we learn from Numbers 14 and from Hebrews 3 and 4, the way of being God's people, heirs of his kingdom, going into the promised land, right, was through faith in his word, in his promises, in the Savior Jesus. And so that was true even of Israel of old. And that's something that could occupy us this evening for a very great long while. But in the interest of time and getting to these other points, I want to move on. Why do people have that faith? I've mentioned a little bit about that already this evening. It's a gift of our God. How can we, who even Jesus here calls sheep, foolish, blockheaded animals, right? I mean, that's not a... When you read the word sheep and that the Lord Jesus would call you a sheep, that's not exactly a ennobling sort of term that makes you pat yourself on the back and say, I'm a sheep. Those are stupid animals. Weak, stubborn, silly, dumb creatures. It's not a term of great admiration or esteem that Jesus gives us when he calls us sheep. How then do we have faith? How can we embrace him, being the sinners that we are and so foolish and prone to wander? Well, the answer is, the second point this evening, the church is holy and Catholic because of God's sovereign choice of election. Very simple. The church is holy and Catholic, not only because of the simple condition of faith, but because of God's sovereign choice of election. And you better believe here in John 10, this passage is everywhere concerned with election, isn't it? You don't read the word elect. You don't read chosen by God or predestined, right? You don't have that sort of language, which is more about Paul and the way he writes about these things. But in John, you see election so plainly here. What do I mean, children, by this word election or this bigger word, predestination? Well, Jesus tells us here in John 10, my sheep, they hear my voice, and they come to me. But why? Why can these sheep have faith in the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd? Let's just take a moment and notice what he says here. Verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He died for them. Not just for everybody, although we want to say that there's no person, no ethnicity, no people of any background in this world that are to think of themselves as outside of this preaching of the gospel of sinners who can be saved through this good shepherd who died for sinners. We do want to preach it broadly and everywhere and promiscuously, but Jesus himself says it. I lay down my life for my sheep. They are saved by my redemptive blood. Verse 14, it's even more clear. I am the good shepherd. I know my own. See, it's not I die, I lay down my life for all people who are all sheep, and I want them all to be mine, so I die for them to try to make that a reality. No, that's not what he says. Jesus isn't saying he tries to make people a sheep. He says he lays down his life for his sheep that he knows. It's election. He lays down his life to save them. That's particular atonement. Sometimes called limited atonement, but it means that Jesus dies to save effectively and forever his sheep. This is a powerful passage to comfort the saints, isn't it? There's more of it here in verse 26. But you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. Now, that's a surprise, isn't it? Wouldn't you, if you were writing John 10, verse 26, wouldn't you probably, most people I think would, we'd flip it. You're not part of my flock because you don't believe. There's certainly truth to that. You're not part of Jesus' body, the church, his one flock, because you don't believe. That's true, but Jesus changes it around. You don't believe because you're not really part of my flock. That's election. You can't have faith unless you're already numbered among those that the Father has given me, which he says, by the way, just two verses later. Verse 29, three verses, whatever it is there. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. See, what Jesus says here is election. The sovereign choice of God is what makes his church holy and Catholic. And you want more justification for that? We don't make ourselves holy. He does. And it's grounded in his electing love in Jesus, choosing us to be holy in Christ. Ephesians 1. See, we are the holy Catholic Church not only because of that simple condition of faith, but because of the sovereign grace of our God in election, his choosing us in Christ, giving us to his Son, that his Son might lay down his life to redeem those the Father gave him and draw them powerfully and infallibly, perfectly, without any failure, to himself and give them eternal life. Now you hear these words here about election, about Jesus' special and personal knowledge of his sheep for whom he dies. You ask yourself, how do I know I'm elect? How does anybody know that he's part of the Holy Catholic Church, made up only of the elect? You'd be correct to wonder about that. Who are they? Am I one of them who's been chosen by God, elect to belong to Jesus, for whom he died, and who will be preserved to the end by the powerful hand of our God and Father and his Son Jesus? Am I one of those elect? People will ask such questions as if it's some mystery. It's not a mystery. Not a mystery at all. In fact, Jesus weds everywhere throughout this passage. He joins to this language of election faith. You want to know if you're among the elect? I can't tell you that, not with complete certainty. But there's an easy way to find out. Do you believe in the Good Shepherd? Do you believe he laid down his life for you? You're one of his sheep. You're one of the chosen sheep that God the Father has given to his Son, Jesus the Good Shepherd. You're numbered among the elect. By true faith, we know we are part of his body, part of his one flock, the Holy Catholic Church. We have that faith because of God's election. See, that's the point of election. That's why you're to hear this word again this evening, for your comfort. Election is a doctrine which humbles us and makes us know we don't make ourselves the sheep. We don't make ourselves to have the ability to hear the shepherd's voice and to follow him. We don't make ourselves wise unto salvation. We don't have any of that in ourselves as foolish, sinful sheep who are really worse off dead in our sin. God, by his sovereign grace, chooses those who will belong to Christ and who will have faith in him. And he works it in our hearts by his Holy Spirit. And so, friends, let us look no further when we're wondering about election and predestination and are we elect, are we really God's people? Look outside of yourselves. There's no special stamp of election that you bear on your forehead, not one that you can see. Look to Christ, embrace him by faith, and know you are numbered among his flock. You are numbered among those chosen by God, given faith in accordance with his sovereign grace of election. We could not be a holy Catholic Church if it were left up to us in any way. In our sin, friends, in our selfish ways, would you, I ask you, my brothers and sisters, would you in your sin, in all of your selfishness, naturally think of getting along with a bunch of other different sinful people? Some of you are saying no. You're being honest, and that's exactly the right answer. No, you wouldn't. We're the holy Catholic Church by virtue of God's sovereign grace and election, giving us to Christ, working faith in our hearts, giving us new life. And that really does bring us to the third point this evening. The church is holy and Catholic because of the Spirit's creation of life. Church is holy and Catholic also because of the Spirit's creation of life. Now, when we read in John 10, we read quite a bit here about the Father and about the Son. The Spirit isn't mentioned, but friends, I want you to just notice a couple verses here as we go back to our passage. Verses 9 and 10 here. I'm the door, Jesus says. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. When Jesus calls us, the Good Shepherd makes us part of his church. He does so by the Holy Spirit who gives us life. Jesus himself says it there. He gives us abundant life to possess now. And he later calls it at the end of our reading this evening, verses 28 to 29, eternal life. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will ever snatch them out of my hand. He gives us eternal life. How does he do that? It's by virtue not only of his death for our sins, but because he pours out on us his Holy Spirit. So that you, if you are believers this evening, know that you belong to the true Church of Christ, his one holy Catholic body that belongs to him now and forever by the grace of God. And it is the Spirit who gives us life. Gives us the ability to believe, gives us union to Jesus Christ, and an interest in everything that he has done for us. It is the Spirit. Friends, there is, as I said, not mention here of the Holy Spirit's power, but as our Heidelberg Catechism tells us there in number 54, our catechism says that we believe about the Holy Catholic Church that out of the whole human race from the beginning of the world to the end, the Son of God, by his Spirit and Word, gathers, defends, and preserves for himself unto everlasting life. Do you have that life in yourself that makes you walk in Christ and enjoy salvation in Christ and believe on him and have an interest in him? That life is given us through the Holy Spirit. And so let us understand what our catechism is getting at there is giving all glory to God for this gift of his church, where in fact he does pour out upon us his Holy Spirit, who works faith and comforts us knowing with the knowledge that we are among those who are elect of God. Again, we don't clearly see holiness and Catholicity in ourselves. You look around this body of believers this evening, this group of Christian people here numbered among the saints, but do you look in the eyes of one another? Do you see holiness? Do you see perfect unity, Catholicity? We don't see those things. They escape us. As often as we might want to look for them and see them with our eyes, holiness and Catholicity escape the eye. They're not in ourselves, but we receive them through faith in Christ because of his death for us, because of God's sovereign election, and because of the Spirit who indwells us. You have life and faith of Christ because of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit who dwells in him, the head, and in us, his body, joins us to the Lord Jesus and makes us to have this new life, eternal life, and this identity in him, our good shepherd. Well, finally, in the fourth place, the church is holy and Catholic because of the shepherd's call in his word. The last point this evening, the church is holy and Catholic because of the shepherd's call in his word. Jesus makes this point throughout John 10 that his sheep hear his voice. When I say this word, children, the call of our shepherd, I mean exactly what Jesus says here a number of times, that he calls them. He makes his voice to be heard by his sheep. They actually do hear his voice. I asked you that earlier this evening. Do you hear the voice of your shepherd? You hear my voice, but do you hear the voice of your shepherd? If you have faith in Christ, as often as you hear his word, you are hearing the voice of your shepherd who calls you to repentance, who calls you to trust in him for all things, for life, for salvation, for perseverance to the very end, to trust in his power and that of the Father, for they are one, and by the Spirit they give us life and preserve us by their own power. Friends, the church is holy and Catholic because of the shepherd's call in his word. We would look at those other three elements that we've considered this evening and think that our catechism must only be talking about the invisible church. You know this language that we sometimes hear? Is there an invisible church or is there a visible church? What does that mean? Well, you think about it. When Jesus is using this language here about faith, do you see it? We should see the fruit of faith, right? But do you really see faith? Do any of us really know? Haven't you been surprised at times who does or does not have faith? We don't infallibly know those things. Faith, you don't see that. This is all about the invisible church. What about election? You see that any more than you see true faith? Are we just talking about the invisible church here? We're talking about that body of Christ, the one flock that has true faith, that are elect of God, and that have life through the Spirit. Do you see life through the Spirit? Do you see the Holy Spirit dwelling in anybody here or in any congregation of the Lord Jesus? See, when we look at those first three things this evening that I've been talking about so far, faith and election and the Spirit and the eternal life he gives us, you don't see those. And we might be tempted to think, our catechism must then just be talking about the invisible church. And certainly, we know there are people like that who think that you can belong to the invisible church and that's good enough. That's all you need. I've heard that myself. Heard it a number of times. What church are you a member of? Well, I'm a member of the universal church. No particular congregation, just the invisible church, right? Invisible not because you can't see anything about it, but you don't, it's here, it's there. You don't clearly see who's really a member of it. There's elect and reprobate that mix up things in the church and make a big mess. So some people just choose not to belong to any particular church. Members of the universal Catholic Church or that invisible church, that's where their membership lies. Well, friends, I want to say this evening that that is wrong. It's not what our catechism is teaching us. We are members of Christ and of his one flock, part of a chosen communion. Yes, it has to do with faith, which we don't see. And yes, it has to do with election, a chosen communion. We don't see that. And yes, it has to do with the Spirit who gives life, and we don't see that. But you can have every assurance that those things are present where his word is preached. Where you hear the word of Christ Jesus, there, because of his power, because he will pour out his Holy Spirit, and by his sovereign grace, his elect will come to faith, and they will be joined to a particular body, a particular flock of sheep. It's not just the invisible church. This is where we must touch down things more solid and visible and concrete and talk about the Word of God. We may not see election and the Spirit and eternal life and faith, but we know where the word is preached. That is where Christ is working to gather, preserve, and defend his church. As our catechism says, by his Spirit and word, Christ, the Son of God, gathers, defends, and preserves his church. It is a communion. It's not invisible. It's a visible body. You're members of it here at Providence Reformed Church. All are called to be members of it, to join themselves to that one holy Catholic body of Christ, that one flock. There are many things making it a mess in this world. We don't see clearly its holiness or its Catholicity either, no more than we do see its election and its eternal life and the Spirit and faith. There are invisible aspects of the church and those who truly belong to it united to Jesus Christ, now and forever. There is that invisible reality, but we know it exists in this world in a concrete form where his word is preached. Let us hear then the voice of the shepherd who calls us to himself in a particular place at particular points in time and has us to belong to him as we belong, even to that messy body in this world where we don't know everybody's elect, where we don't know everybody has true faith, where we're not sure about what the Spirit's doing in so-and-so's life. That is nevertheless the reality that our God brings to us this evening in John 10. We are called out of the world and to follow him. And those who are following him in faith, the elect of God, those saved by his sovereign grace and the death of our good shepherd, and who have eternal life through him alone, we will hear his voice. He will make us to hear his word and follow him. And let us do that then by the grace of God now, and may he by his power and Holy Spirit, through the preaching of his word, give us perseverance to the very end. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.